Pray.
Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you each opportunity we have to open up the word of God and to study together and to share just the wonder of the bread of life. And so, Jesus, you are the very word. You are the logos of God. So come and just really make this word real to us. Just speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. You're the only one who can bring revelation and understanding, so be our teacher. Let us see Jesus. Let us give the Father glory through all we do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, while we're getting the PowerPoint up, I just want to say, you know, what is the church's message? That's the leading question that I want to bring to you. And what is the church's message? So I wrote down a few things about that. And I thought, is the church's message social justice? If you notice a lot when you, if you listen to some radio, if you look at Facebook a lot, you'll see a lot of posts about social justice. And it's an important topic, isn't it? I mean, it really is. I mean, it's not that as Christians we're not interested in social justice, but is the message of the church social justice, or is it cultural reform? We've talked a lot about our culture and as Christians, how we are to impact our culture, but is that the message of our church? Is the message of the church faith? And there's a lot of churches that is the message. They preach almost every Sunday, faith, and that's a good message, and it's an important message, but is that the message of the church? And the other one I just thought of, and I could go on and on, but I say, is it love? Everybody talks about, we sang about the love of God, but is that the message of the church? Is that what the church is supposed to be proclaiming? So I just want to read the first two verses with you this morning. And it's in 1 Corinthians 1 as we continue our study in 1 Corinthians, verses 17 and 18. It says, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen. The power of God. So very, and you already filled in the blank probably on this one. It was an easy fill if you look down points 2, 3, and 4, and 5. But the cross is the church's message. And you see, this is what I think we forget. And Paul never forgot it. In fact, as we go through 1 Corinthians together, you'll see this theme brought up over and over again. It was the central theme of Paul's life. It's the central theme of his message. It's the central theme of his gospel. His gospel was Jesus Christ in him crucified. That's his message. And in Romans 1, 16 to 17, Paul writes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we're to live by faith, but faith isn't our message. The cross is our message. The cross alone is the power of God that leads us to salvation. Without the cross, we have just philosophy. If there was no cross of Christ, this would just be a club of people who just signed up to go along with Jesus' teaching, like they do with Muhammad's teaching and Confucius' teaching and Buddha's teaching. And you go, the list goes on and on. How about L. Ron Hubbard, you know? I mean, what about Joseph Smith? It's just a litany of people, get in line, of the people who have given out their philosophies of life, where religions are formed around them, and they don't have a cross. See, without the cross, I would be surfing right now, or sitting on the beach. I mean, without the cross, I wouldn't be walking this Christian walk. Because without the cross, it would be foolish to do what Christ requires of us if there was no cross. And worse than that, I'd be out sinning still. Because without the cross, there'd be no forgiveness for sin. And without the cross, there'd be no victory over sin. Well, we're going to look at what the cross is this morning. Because there's a few things the church doesn't talk about much anymore today in our 21st century. One is the cross, and the other is the blood. Some churches won't sing songs about the blood of Jesus anymore because they think it will offend people and they'll run out the door. We saw one time years ago, somebody did run out the door and we started singing, "There's power in the blood." Everything was going good until we're singing, "There's power, power, wonder-working power." And a whole family in the back row just looked at each other and they were out of there. I want to tell you, you know, listen. Say, well, the blood, the cross. I mean, let's talk about the love of God, the joy of God, prosperity of God, all those things. I want to tell you, without the cross, none of those things. Did you just hear what I said? Without the cross, there's none of those things. Do you know that sinners can get rich? You ever read Psalm 73? Read that about a young man who didn't understand and got mad at God because he said, "How come the wicked are prospering and I'm trying to serve you and I'm struggling?" He said, "Well, then I went into the house of God and then I understood." But you see, wicked prosper, don't they? Sinners have prosperity. People who don't know Christ have prosperity. They drive nicer cars maybe than I do or you do. Doesn't matter. Not that a car is evil. I happen to like cars and hamburgers. The two things I like. What? Nothing evil about a hamburger, nothing evil about a car. But the cross is the message. And without it, nothing means anything. So the second point I want to make as we look at this, look at the scriptures now in verses 19 to 21. It is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And listen to verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So God didn't use wisdom. He didn't use power. He used the thing that was most foolish, and we'll see why in a moment, most foolish to both Jews and Greeks, to save those who would embrace him and believe. So the cross is the wisdom of God. The cross is the wisdom of God. Now, when I started to think about the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man, let me contrast the two. Man's wisdom always leads him to a work-based system. When man tries to reach God on his own understanding, he always makes up a system. And you know, that's why I got my cuffs rolled. This is a good segue there about legalism. Is that legalism doesn't lead us to God. Legalism creeps into our lives and into the church very subtly. It's kind of like, well, if you are a good Christian, you're going to read this version of the Bible, and if you're a good Christian, you're going to listen to this kind of music, and if you're a good Christian, you're going to do this and that. And that creeps into the church to where all of a sudden we have these glasses on where we judge people by that external evidence that we've created rather than the internal evidence that the cross creates. You see, God wants us to look different, act different, be different. You know why? Because we are different. He doesn't want Christians to mouth the same thing and walk around and be the same. "Hi, Joel, I'm a Christian." That's ridiculous. Man's wisdom always leads to this work-based system. They try to do things. You talk to a Jehovah's Witnesses. A couple of those, if you talk to somebody, they knock on your door. They will tell you that you're not going to heaven, really, well, because you're not Jehovah's Witness, but also because you're not out there knocking on doors. You see, it's a work-based system. God is not interested in how good you are because you could never be good enough. The cross is the wisdom of God in how to reach him. Man's wisdom always leads him further away from God. Listen to Romans 1. When man depends on his own wisdom, it says, they professed to be wise and they became fools. What did they do? They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. You say, well, we don't do that anymore. We don't worship idols in America. I mean, how many people you know that have idols that they bow down to in their homes? Not many. But we worship animals. In our culture, we hold up the value of the life of an animal more than the value of the life of an unborn infant. And that's shameful. Professing to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And even as they did not, this is important, listen, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God is not welcome in our public schools anymore. In the 50s, it all started to change. I went to a parochial school. I went to a Lutheran school, so I didn't experience that in my grade school years, but they kicked prayer out of the school. They kicked God out of the school. God's not welcome in the school. Fortunately, we got Kids Beach Club in the school. We're bringing God into the school, right? Amen. But even though they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Why do you think the world is so messed up? Because they kicked God out. The cross is the wisdom of God. When the church deviates, listen, when the church deviates from the message of the cross, their focus shifts from the salvation of souls to other things that make them feel good and gets them approval from the world. I mean, you know, I can do something that the world thinks is really great, and I can get on Oprah. And she'll think I'm great. But I want to tell you, Oprah will never have me on to talk about the cross. Because the cross calls us to die to ourselves and to live unto Christ. Listen to this. It says, for since in the wisdom of God, verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 1:21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Romans 10, 8 to 10, what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want to give an example from our Kids Beach Club ministry. I think we forget how powerful the cross is. And that the message of the cross is what people need to hear. And then we try to make it sophisticated, or we try to make it dynamically innovative, or we try to use everything to wow the hearts of man. And what we're really trying to do is bring them to a decision to become a part of the church or to follow Jesus out of an emotional response that we initiate. At Kids Beach Club, we have kids. And the one thing I love about kids, grades 3 through 5, or 2 through 5, is it 2 or 3? 2 to 2-ish to 5, grades 5, now that they've changed the grade structure. The cool thing about these kids, this is the cool thing. They don't have all the baggage you and I have. You know, you and I have a lot of baggage this morning. You know, if truth could be told, this is what you would have heard as everyone was coming into church. We're dragging in our baggage. We all got it. God's trying to set us free from it, but we all got certain points of baggage. Those kids don't have it. Pastor Terry shares a simple story from the Bible and talks about how that relates to the cross. And then he says, if anyone wants to talk about that, I'll be sitting over there. And he goes and he sits over there, and kids come to talk about that. It wasn't a wow video with lights flashing. It wasn't a big rock star coming in. I bet you Terry could do that. Yeah. Yeah, he does a lion roar. That is his patented thing. But it's the gospel. It's the cross. And these kids hear it. Let me tell you, on Easter Sunday, Mitch tells the story of the cross. And we've had children saved every Easter Sunday just by the simple message of the cross. And we stop talking about it. We talk about everything else. And then we hope to then throw Jesus in at the end. The message of the church is the cross. The wisdom of God is the cross. Next scripture. 1 Corinthians 1, 22 to 24. For Jews require a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, a sign is an unusual occurrence that transcends the natural. That's the meaning of the text, the word in the Greek. It's something that transcends the natural, transcends the course of that which we see every day in nature. It defies the laws of nature. Here's the deal. Signs are sought by religious people. Religious people are the ones that want to see signs. I was a religious kid. When I was little, I wanted God to show me a sign. And I've told you this before, but I had one of those old-fashioned black and white TVs that my parents handed down to me when they got a color TV. And it was really kind of useless in my room because you could only watch cartoons for a few hours on Saturday morning. There was nothing else to watch during the week, but it was cool to wake up on Saturday morning and turn on the cartoons, even though they were in black and white. But I would sit there because I was wrestling about God's existence. Is he real? And I would turn it on channel 7, and I would say, God, if you're real, when I wake up, let it be on channel 13. And I'd wake up, and it wasn't on channel 13, so then I'd struggle some more about that, and I'd give God another chance. I gave him lots of chances to change it to channel 13, and he didn't. You see, I was looking for an answer, but the cross is the answer of God. And religious people want to see signs. I want to see proof. Herod, you know, he said, I want Jesus, do some miracles. I want to see some miracles. Think about how many thousands of people saw Jesus feed them from nothing, heal people, raise people from the dead. Thousands of people. And yet, there was only 120 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. On the day of the crucifixion, the same people that saw him do those, the religious people, were saying, crucify him. You see, signs don't create faith. That's not the message of the church. Wisdom is intelligence or knowledge. When we would think about it in our current culture, it'd be science and learning. Oh, science and learning. That's what we worship. That's our God in America. Science and learning. Science. You always hear, well, scientists say. How many have ever lived long enough to know scientists have been wrong over and over again? When I was a kid, Time magazine cover, the world is going to freeze. Now, the world is going to melt. Which one is it, folks? I don't know. Wisdom is sought by the educated people. Logic, it has to be rational. It has to make sense. And how many times have you and I tried to lead someone to Christ by sharing with them and answering every single logical question they had, and we never talked about the cross? Did you ever do that? I used to be an apologetic junkie when I was young. Apologetics, the study of defending your faith. And I had all the scriptures down. I was like a mean Western fighter. I had one of those belts with all the bullets, man. And they were all the scriptures, baby. And Mitch, they'd come. Bow, 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 bow. And I was like, you know, the rifle man. You know? And so, man, I would go after Mormons and I would go after Jehovah's Witnesses. I was going to get them all, save them all, you know? And we would get in arguments, and I was proud of it. I never led one of those people to the Lord. I didn't talk about the cross, though. The cross is the answer of God. Paul says this. He said, everybody's asking the question, and God's already answered them. He said, I deliver to you first of all that which I also received. Listen to his message. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried. That he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. I've told you this before too, but you know, one of the greatest men of faith in our lifetime has been Billy Graham, who's still alive. One of the greatest men of faith. And how many of you have been to a Billy Graham crusade in person? Let me see your hands. A few of you here. Great. I had never been to see Billy Graham before in my life. I wanted to see him. At that time, he was in his 80s. I thought, I want to see him before, you know, he goes to glory, and he's still going on. And so I went to see him. And when you're a pastor, you critique other people who are preaching. You gotta like beat that down, don't you? Terry's already critiquing me as he enlisted, going, well, you know, that point was pretty good, you know. And the other teachers are going, oh, Kirk, you really buffed that point, you know. But so I'm listening to Billy Graham, right? And I'm going, well, guy, that was so simple. I mean, you know, I've had sermons with better twists and turns. I mean, I've had messages with like 10 words that started with the letter R. You know, he didn't do any of that. And when he got done, what is every single message that Billy Graham has ever preached been about? The cross. It's always been about the cross. And when he's done preaching about the cross, people get saved. Galatians 6:14-15 says, but God forbid, Paul says, that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. What is he saying? Nothing else matters but the cross. Because it's only through the cross of Jesus Christ that we are made new creations. And that's what it's all about. How many of you need to be a new creation this morning? I do. Next verses. We're almost done. There's two sections here. I'll read the first one. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. That is something you just got to meditate on for a while. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise, notice this, according to the flesh. You know, can I correct the thing that people say that you have to be ignorant to be a Christian? You don't. It says wise according to the flesh. What does according to the flesh mean? People who trust in their wisdom, who trust in that as the means to answer everything in life. For you see your calling, brethren, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Next couple verses. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. The cross is God's call to us. And it's a twofold call. It's a call to humility, and it's a call to repentance. We must lay down our own wisdom. We have to lay down our own human understanding, and we have to realize this very important phrase. We're not the source of truth. We're not. The more I know God, the more I realize how much I don't know, and the more I'm open to receive. When I was young, I thought I knew everything. How many of you thought you knew everything when you were young? Okay, I didn't see hands of the young people over there, because they'd go, well, thanks, Pastor, we already know everything. Thank you, we knew that. We knew that even before you said it. No, and that's cool. You're young, man. When you're young, like the people in the front row too, you know everything, and that's cool. Until you realize you don't. All of a sudden, there's going to be a day. It's going to be magical. You guys, you young people, the magical day will come when all of a sudden you'll look and the geeky mom and dad that you couldn't stand, as you were in your teen years going, they don't understand, they don't know anything. All of a sudden you're going to go, yeah, they rock, They're smart. I remember, yeah. And you'll go back to them for advice. The cross demands that we lay down our religion, our attempts to be good enough. We're not powerful and we're not righteous. We're only righteous in Christ. And the cross demands that we lay down our pride. We need to be willing to become fools for Christ. We need to be willing to stand up for Jesus and proclaim the cross when the world thinks it's foolishness and doesn't even believe it. We need to be willing to embrace the things that the world despises, the base things, because we know that the cross is God's work alone. We have nothing to do with it. We can't bring our truth to it. We can't bring our power or righteousness to it. And we can't bring our pride to it. All of those have to be laid. Really, if you can think about this, how many have ever had to take something back after Christmas? And you get in the big exchange line? The cross is God's exchange line. You get in line to come to the cross so that you can lay down all the junk that you don't want anymore and take all the things that he wants to give you. But you have to lay all that stuff down to receive all the things that he has for you. That's the cross. Finally, verses 30 and 31. But of him, these are two of the most powerful verses in the Bible. And they could become sermons for weeks. Listen to it. Will you do me a favor just for a moment? Close your eyes and just listen to the words. I'm going to read them slowly. Just close your eyes and listen to these. But of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. The cross is God's only plan for restoring us to his creative purpose. Through the cross, by grace through faith, we're united and we're placed in Christ. In fact, you know what a neat thing to do? Ephesians chapter 1. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 this week and read the first chapter and take a highlighter and highlight all the words that say in him, in Christ, in the beloved. And you'll see all the wonders of what God has done for you through the cross. He has put you in Christ. Last week we talked about Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you are in Christ, and there's this wonderful union that God has brought about in us, and only in Christ, that is through the cross, do we discover the true, wisdom, the true righteousness, the true sanctification, and the true redemption that he has for us. True wisdom. We understand and grow in the knowledge of God. We don't even understand what it means to have wisdom apart from God. Because wisdom of man leads us away from God. We learn about true righteousness. I don't have anything to bring to God. I don't have anything to offer God. He places me in Christ. I love this. When God the Father looks at me, he doesn't see the past blunders, and I have a long list of them, folks, that I'm not proud of. They've been removed as far as the east is from the west. When he looks at me, you know what he sees now? He sees Jesus, because I'm in Christ. That's cool. I don't know about you, but that's cool. I'm in Christ. You're in Christ if you've embraced the cross. True sanctification. The cross is my pathway of spiritual growth and restoration. The cross is an ongoing relationship. That's why Jesus said, if any man wants to follow me, he must what? Deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. Because the cross is a call to constantly die to the things that are limiting us from entering into the fullness that God has for us. Do you have anything limiting you this morning? How about in your marriage relationship? I don't care how long you've been married. I've been married 41, going on 42 years. There's still things that this old clunker here is limited on. And I need the cross in my life. I need the cross in my life. And true redemption. The cross reminds us he was buried. For 3 days he was in the tomb, and he was risen from the dead. You know what? Praise God. We're standing with you, Rose, everyone who's battling stuff physically. But isn't it good to know, as I look, and we realize that these bodies, you know, are struggling in this world that we live in, that there's a day coming for all of us when we take on a glorified body, when we will never, there won't be any chemo in heaven. Hallelujah. There won't be any heart surgery in heaven. There won't be any knee replacements in heaven. There won't be any cancer in heaven. There won't be any depression in heaven. All the things that we struggle with on this earth, the redemption is the promise through the cross. Worship team, come back up, and then we're going to open the table of communion. What's the conclusion? If everything we need is found in the cross of Jesus Christ, then the question is, why are we searching elsewhere? Think about that. If everything you need is found in the cross of Jesus Christ, the completed work of Christ on the cross, then why do you and I search elsewhere? And why do you and I have the temptation to give glory to anyone else except Jesus? That as it is written, verse 31, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And I want to read this last few verses from Ephesians. Listen to this great promise. Paul writes, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. There's nothing that you or I need at this moment that's not found in Christ. Karen shared a Facebook post about a young lady who lost her husband. She said that the church she went to, and I'm not trying to criticize the church, I'm just sharing her testimony. The church she went to had a coffee bar, had all the new modern happening things that you could have, and all the things that they think are necessary to attract millennials today. And this millennial lost her husband. And when she lost her husband, she realized that she didn't need a coffee bar and a bookstore. She needed Jesus. And she said, I wish they would have taken more time to tell us about Jesus and how to walk with Jesus, and how to have a stronger relationship with Jesus, than they did in trying to attract us. Because when I lost my husband, the only thing I needed was Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. In him also we have attained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Father, we come this morning, and your table is a table that reminds us of the cross. It calls us to the cross. Our table is set before this old rugged cross pulpit to remind us that when we come to the elements, we're coming to the cross, we're coming to Jesus, we're coming to your wisdom, we're coming to your answer, we're coming to your righteousness, we're coming to your only plan, the only plan you have, the plan that you gave to your son, who at that night of sweating and toil in the Garden of Gethsemane said, "Father, might there be another plan?" And you said, "No, son." And he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And that will was the cross. And the cross is our message. The cross is your plan. The cross is everything. It is the entrance into all things in Christ. And it's only through the cross that we find righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And so as we come this morning, Lord, let us come with that understanding and meet us at this point of contact and this point of grace, we pray. As the worship team leads us in this song, I'm going to open the table and invite you to the cross this morning to come and to receive of his grace. Thank you. Such a small wafer in such a small cup for such a mighty and powerful reminder of what God has done for us. Father, you took the bread and you gave thanks and you broke it. And you said to your disciples, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Take this in remembrance of me." Let's partake of the wafer. And likewise, you took the cup, and you gave thanks, and you said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is given for you for the remission of sins. Take and drink ye all of it, for as long as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim my death until I return." Let's partake of the cup. Lord, we'll never understand the cost you paid on that cross. As that wonderful chorus says, I'll never understand. We'll never understand what it means to carry the weight of the sin of the world, to be rejected for that moment in time by the Father as you became sin for us. You bore everything so we could have everything. You gave us everything so you could, gave up everything so you could give us everything. And you are just so good and so worthy. You pour your love out on us and we pour our love back out on you. And your cross stands as that symbol and reminder and as the open door into your presence. It is through the cross of Christ that we find all of these things. And it's through proclaiming the cross of Christ that men and women come to salvation, come to healing, come to deliverance, come to freedom, and ultimately come to the full redemption of God's creative purpose. A new body, a new heaven, a new earth, everything that we hope for is found in the cross.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so we give you thanks and we give you praise. Let's close. Stand with me. Now as we close and
this is my desire.
Tracy, come forward, and as we close, if you don't know this Jesus, and I believe most of you do, but if he's not the center of your life this morning, I mean, if he's not everything to you this morning, don't leave this place. The cross comes to open the way for us to have such a dynamic personal relationship with God, where he becomes our everything. And that old chorus that says, and the things of this of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, that he wants to become so much the central part of your life that everything else just dims in comparison. And you know if that's your life this morning or not. And you don't have to leave without it being your life this morning. And so the altar will be open as we close. One last thing. I don't think our cross should be visible. Let me explain that, as this is my last going charge to you. Now, this is not a criticism to some of the evangelists who carry a cross around, but you've seen a lot of the people who carry a cross around on a wheel and they walk all around cities and stuff. And I understand that some people do that just sincerely to share the gospel. I think some people do it to be seen too. And I want to tell you, God doesn't want the world to see you carry your cross. Just as prayer is supposed to be in the closet, not a show to men. And your alms are supposed to be given before the Lord, not as a show to men. So you picking up your cross and following Jesus is not supposed to be evident by a physical cross or by you saying, well, we all got our cross to bear. But by your transformed life. The more you walk in servanthood, the more you walk in humility, the more you walk in repentance, the more you walk in love, the more you're able to forgive, the more you're able to give, the more you're able to lay down your life. That's the cross at work in your life. And that's what the world needs to see. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Go in the love of the Lord. If you need prayer, come forward. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed. Thank you for being with us.